Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Every year we get down to the National Farm Broadcasting Convention and a little gathering we call Trade Talk. And today, this year, it's virtual. But we always stop by the Farm Credit booth. And from CoBank, the manager of their knowledge exchange, Tanner Emke, joins us. Hello, Tanner.
Hi. How are you this morning? Great to be with you.
Thank you very much. Good to sit down and talk about credit. And because farmers, you know, people talk about, you know, the average median age or average median household income is, you know, right about 60,000 or so. But there is only one category of the demo and the graphic in the U.S. that has to borrow over $1 million to maybe earn that 60 grand a year, and that's farmers. So I guess the great reduction in interest rates is should be beneficial to producers, shouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's really taking the cost of that of borrowing down to a level that's a lot more manageable at a time when farmers have been taking on a lot of debt. So that's going to really be impacting farm operating loans and real estate loans probably for the next few years, because the Federal Reserve has been signaling that they're not going to be moving on rates anytime soon. In fact, they've said that they're going to allow inflation to run hot for a period of time and to tolerate that for perhaps even up to 3 years. And so what that means here is that farmers can really lock in some very favorable rates. Now they can refinance, they can do all these things to lower that cost. And that's going to be very impactful to their bottom line in the years ahead, assuming that the Fed remains at their current rate. And those savings are passed right on down to the farmer with their operating loans dropping as well.
Over the course of the summer, though, we were kind of in the valley of the shadow with the pandemic, the shutdown of the economy. And since then, in the last, 3 months, 4 months, price of corn and beans have skyrocketed and farmers are looking pretty good. They're buying combines and tractors. And could we just as quickly go back into economic pullback?
Well, that's a possibility. It depends upon what side of the equation you're on. If you're selling corn and beans and wheat, this is fantastic for your bottom line. And in addition to the phenomenal government payments that we had this year from the MFP payments, from the CFAP payments, from PPP and USDA's Farmers to Family Food Box Program purchases. It's been a phenomenal year for a lot of farmers. And so they're going to be heading into 2021 with more cash than they did last year at this time. And so that's going to be providing some necessary cushion and an opportunity perhaps to trade off old machinery, to upgrade and make necessary upgrades that you've been holding out for. Now, what happens really to net farm income in 2021? Well, it's important that we've got grain prices up for grain farmers at any rate. This is a positive. This will be a necessary cushion if we see, and this is what is widely expected, for the government to pull back on these very unusual payments that we've seen, like MFP and CFAP. And so if the government is going to be stepping away in a year that is not an election year, there's no elections in 2021, then that would mean that farmers are going to have to go back to getting their revenue from the marketplace and controlling their costs. It's kind of the same old story we've always been talking about. Forever. I mean, you got to be efficient producer and you got to be nimble at marketing. And so that's what the story is going to be in 2021. And now if you're an end user, if you're feeding livestock or poultry or making ethanol, this higher grain price scenario is not such great news. That's going to be compressing your margins. And if you're seeing perhaps a scenario with lower livestock prices and higher feed prices at the same time, boy, you're going to really need to have a conversation with your accountant and your banker about how you're going to manage through that. I would encourage, if you're on, if you know, livestock producers and poultry producers, to do nimble risk management. If the futures market is offering profitable levels now that you can lock in, I would highly recommend that.
All the Federal Reserve districts in the middle part of the country coming out with some optimistic reports. Bankers are pretty happy, and optimistic, positive attitudes anyway. Main Street's doing pretty good. Yet farm bankruptcies creeping into 2020 were still on the rise. Has that leveled off, and do you see farm bankruptcies, has the tide started to turn?
Well, we'll see when the data comes in. Again, the USDA and the federal government have stepped in pretty significant ways. I would imagine that when the data comes in, we're going to see those numbers, if not plateau, perhaps even go down. Farmers were using that money to make payments, to pay down debt. A lot of farmers are, like we talked about earlier, are even replacing their machinery. There's talk that they may be even bidding up for cash rents. But before they ever do that, they need to pay down their debts first. They need to get into a solid financial position before they can start making those other purchases on machinery or land or bidding up on cash rents. But I would imagine that Chapter 12 bankruptcies are going to be softened or declined lowered with the help that we've seen from the government this year, and then also with the rise in the commodity prices here at the end of the year. This has been very helpful, and I think that's going to be, it's going to filter down through the farmers' balance sheets and cash flow statements.
All right. Thank you. Tanner Emke, CoBank Knowledge Exchange Manager. China is the big driver, though, of the economic bubble that we are enjoying. How long is that going to last?
That's a really good question. We hope it lasts for a while, right? Let's just take a look at the fundamentals that have brought us here. First of all, Mick, we've got the Chinese have had a reduction in their own grain stocks because of some unfortunate weather that they've had with typhoons and floods that have destroyed feed crops in their cropping regions, especially in the Northeast. And that's lifted feed prices to record highs. At the same time, they're trying to expand their hog herd and recover from African swine fever. That's going to continue to play out in 2021. And so when you've got a reduction in feed as they're expanding the hog herd, well, they got to come to the U.S. and Brazil to buy that feed. Well, guess what's happening right now? We've got La Nina. And so as they're experiencing reduction in feed availability and the growing hog herd, the sources of feed where they can get that from in the U.S. and in Brazil have been impacted by La Nina. And so that's tightening the global balance sheets quite a bit here. At the same time, China has a stronger currency and we have a weaker currency. And so that puts China in an ability to bid higher for that imported grain, because our feed is on sale from our weaker currency, and then so that they're able to bid for that. So I think it's a number of factors coalescing here. Those fundamentals don't appear to be changing. Now, prove me wrong. Our currency could shift if we see an economic recovery here that would lift our currency. Or perhaps if the Chinese see a downturn in their economy for whatever reason, that would weaken their currency. Or the weather changes in Brazil, or any number of those factors could affect the outlook. But right now, those fundamentals that are intact right now remain, or we think are going to play out for most of 2021. So it's hard to create a bullish picture here on the grain side.
Okay. All right. But a week ago,
I'm sorry, hard to create a bearish picture.
Yeah. All righty. All righty. But a weaker U.S. dollar, that's probably not quite as good as testing negative for COVID, but it's certainly puts us in a good position. People want to buy our stuff.
Absolutely. A weaker dollar puts our exports on sale onto the global marketplace. And some projections are that out there from other institutions are saying we could see a 10 to 20% drop in the value of the dollar. That would be extremely bullish if that were to actually materialize. And I'm not so sure how much faith, I put into those numbers. A 5 to 10% drop would be more realistic if we were to continue to see a weakening of the U.S. dollar in 2021. And that's going to invite more export demand to come to the U.S. And that's great news if you're an exporter, especially if you're selling grain. Unfortunately for the end users domestically here in the U.S., they're going to have to bid against that. It's going to be perhaps a bidding war between livestock producers and poultry feeders and ethanol producers to bid for that grain. They've got more competition now. And so that's going to create a scenario where out in the country, we're going to see a tightening of the basis, and that's going to cut into processing margins and feeding margins.
All right, Tanner Emke, manager of the CoBank Knowledge Exchange, part of Farm Credit. Thank you very much for the visit. Thanks for the good work you do. How do producers tap into the Knowledge Exchange?
Very simple. They can go to cobank.com, and they can find our research right there on our website.
Gotcha. Will do. Tanner, have a good rest of the week, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, and you too.
All right, thank you.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You the same. Thank you.